Father, we ask that you bless your word to us. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your grace. And we ask that your word would be a light unto our feet, Lord. Unto our pathway, a lamp unto our feet, Lord. That your word would be like water washing over us, refreshing us. Your word would be like a sword, Lord God. Cutting in, Lord God, just getting to the very heart of matters in our lives, oh God. That your word would be like a hammer, Lord. That you'd break things off of us that doesn't need to be on us. Your word would be fire, as Jeremiah says, it's in my bones. That, Lord, your word would go deep. It would be right in the very marrow of who we are as a people, oh God. Carrying something, Lord God, that we can give to others in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I must say, I've really struggled to find the heart of the Lord for this morning and for this location. But I believe in God's goodness that he's given me something. You go, phew, do you know what I mean? And I have hundreds of sermons in my iPad, but you're looking for the heart of God all the time. And it's been really encouraging being out here the last couple of weeks with Gary and Rob at the prayer meeting and just hearing what God is saying into the fabric of Liberty Bray and what God wants and what God wants to bring and what God wants to express and how he wants to express himself. And that's been really wonderful. And I encourage you to get along at some stage just to, it's honestly, the time goes like that. I can't believe how quick the time goes in this place. And even a Sunday morning, it's like a fast forward on the time out here, isn't it? Or do you only get up and I look at that clock and I go, my goodness, it's time to get down again. And but it's really, God just packs so much into such a small space of time and yet causes that to impact not only us, but the surroundings around us. And the other night I was praying, we were here and I was praying and I actually got a message in tongues. And we are waiting on the interpretation, and my friend that I brought with me done a great effort of trying to interpret them, but you knew also it wasn't what the Lord wanted in that situation. But I'd felt that the Lord had given me the interpretation as I was praying in tongues. Not the interpretation, just a picture. Just a little, like, do you ever get a picture of the Lord? It's like it goes up like a flash, like you light a match. Like that's how quick it is. But yet it's so packed with color and detail. And yet you can contain it like in something that's a nano of a second. Like, and you can contain so many things within that. It's like it's not natural. It's not natural. If you ask me what I wrote down in my notes yesterday, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But when God gives you something, even though it's like a nano of a second, it's like it's full of detail. And I'll tell you where it was. Just as I was... So what's praying in tongues with an interpretation? I pray... We're the Pentecostal church. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants to work today, the way he worked in Acts, the way he's done things before. It's just the prophecy of what he wants to do again and again and again. So tongues is like, it's not like your tongues as your personal gift that God gives you, because that's the gift that God gives you to build yourself up in faith. So how he goes, look, if your batteries are low, get plugged in. Do you know, if you leave your battery on your phone not charged for a couple of days, what happens? That's a great word. Dead. You know what happens if you neglect your spiritual gifts? You go? You're dead. You're just left with trying to combat this in humanity and flesh. And so tongues is like, it wasn't like tongues that I'd normally pray with. It was a different tongue. In fact, I would have said, and some of the girls were here, I was hoping that they would know what I was saying. But it felt to me like I was praying in an African dialect. And that was cool because I don't know any African dialects. But at the last like word, which I don't know how long it went for, say 30 seconds. At the last, like the Lord showed me a weed. Like, not just a little skimpy little weed, but, like, this had a bit of a bulge on it, and it had things coming out of the top of it. And it was like, as I was praying, it was like the Lord, like, the root of it was being exposed. Like, it was like the Lord was rooting out something within the atmosphere of our church. And I asked the Lord where it was, and I didn't pray about it that night, you know, when we were here, but I asked the Lord where it was. And I felt what the Lord has been saying to me, that it's unbelief. That he wants to root out unbelief in the lives of the church and in our church. And that means you and me, because we are the church. And unbelief is a sneaky, sneaky thing. It's not like I don't believe in God. Unbelief is I believe in God, but I just don't think God can do that or will do that for me. So unbelief can enable us to go to church, to sing songs, to read the Bible, but everything that we see, it just doesn't seem to be applicable to your life, but it does to everyone else's. And that's how unbelief robs. It robs us of, we come to church and we sing about the majesty and magnificence of God, but yet unbelief would rob us of saying, Lord, can I experience the majesty and the splendor and the awesomeness of who you are? So unbelief will allow us to do certain things, but won't let us to go in deeper. Won't let us to take a hold of more. Won't let us to believe for something that is supernatural. But it'll give us all of the other trappings, and they're not bad. But God has more. God has more. And I'm praying today that this is the start. Because why would God give me that picture? Why would the Holy Spirit bother to even use anyone in the gifts unless he was going to back up what he said or what he's done? So let's just pray again. Because believe me, this affects us all. It affects me. It doesn't matter how long you're a Christian. I think it's Luke 17. So imagine what the disciples had seen all before Luke 17. And then they say, Jesus, will you help me with my unbelief? Imagine all that they've seen. They could have seen Lazarus raised from the dead, the feeding of the loaves and fishes. They certainly seen blind eyes open, lepers healed, all of the stuff. And then they say, because unbelief is like a sneaky thing, you can be hanging around with Jesus and still fall into this. So Lord, we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would unearth diamond roots in our hearts today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that, Lord, there would be an impartation of faith. There would be an impartation today of faith, that there be no limitations upon our God, but upon our King and what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives and in the lives of others and in our towns and city, Lord, and nation. We ask today, Lord God, that you would answer our prayer, Lord. Help us with our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. How can this happen? You know, in Timothy, 1 Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy, yeah? And if you read Timothy, I love Paul's expression to Timothy. When he opens up, he calls Timothy my son. In 2 Timothy, he calls him my faithful son. And you can see Paul's heart towards Timothy. And I always say young Timothy because where we're going to read, Paul says, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. So when any preacher, you'll probably hear them saying, young Timothy. But Timothy, you know, he was like Doug when you see, you know, he had a beard when he was writing this stuff. And you know, he was well with it. But listen to what Paul says. Paul says, Timothy, so what I'm trying to say is unbelief caps us off. And it caps off the spiritual dimensions that God wants to take us to and places where he wants us to see him and his glory and his majesty. And unbelief caps us off. And what brings types of unbelief into our hearts? So Timothy was obviously under some type of attack because there's no reason why Paul would say these things to him. He says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Well, that's enough to cap you off. If someone can say, what do you know? Who do you think you are? You're not walking with the Lord long enough. All the things, you don't really know your Bible. All the things that can be said, either from outside, from somebody, or from within ourselves. What do I know? But he says, do not let anyone look down on you. And that includes you and I. But set an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the scriptures. You know, I studied Timothy's life a couple of years ago, and I always looked at him as young Timothy. And Paul commands him, look at, devote yourself to public reading of the scriptures. And when you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, they tell us that, well, Timothy was publicly speaking the scriptures. Men dragged him off and clubbed him to death. Isn't it amazing? What Paul told him to do, he was doing that. while he was being murdered. Don't cap off yourself with the word. There's more in there for us. The word of God is 3D, HD. It's multidimensional. It's high, low, deep, wide. The word of God, you can never exhaust it in any way whatsoever. Do not neglect your gift, and this is where I want to land, which was given you through prophecy when the elders laid hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. So Paul, people may have said things to him, Timothy, you're just young. Or someone may have said to him, no more reading of the scriptures publicly. All the things that Paul was telling them to do was obviously a response of something that Paul knew about Timothy's life at that time. And warning Paul was saying to him, look at Timothy, if you neglect these things, you're going to cap yourself off. Whatever experience you've had of God up to that point, that's what you have. You won't be telling stories about what God has done tomorrow and the next day and the next day because you've already resigned to yourself by listening and capping yourself off spiritually. You will always be telling things of the past. Do you remember when God did this? It is good to lean into the past to get encouragement for the now and for the future. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to give us testimonies of him today. And he wants to give us testimonies of him for tomorrow and tomorrow. And Paul says that if you neglect these things, if you neglect the gifts that God has given you, you cap yourself off and unbelief will come in and you will be a stagnant, dry, even dead Christian. You'll be saved, but you will be miserable. Imagine being saved and miserable. I'd rather just be miserable. No, I wouldn't. Sorry, Lord. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Today, I want to call out the gifts that God has placed in you. Stop neglecting. Stop putting them to the side. No matter who said what, done what, whether you failed, whether you stepped out, whether you failed to step out, I'm saying today, do not neglect that gift anymore. If God has given you a gift of encouragement, encourage. Gift of leadership, lead. Gift of giving, give generously. If he's called you to preach, preach. If he's called you to worship, worship. If he's called you to whatever, do not neglect it because what you've done is capped yourself off and unbelief will get in and a root of that will get in and out of your mouth will be a confession of what's in your heart and it won't be that God is great. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Do not neglect the gift. Do not neglect the prophecy. Do not neglect the laying on of hands that was placed upon you and calling this gift out. To neglect something is to disagree. It's to say, I don't believe it. It's to say that I'm not going to go that way. But to activate something means to, I'm going to agree with what God says. I'm going to come into agreement with the prophecy that was said over my life and the gift that was released into my life. I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to bring it with me. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it to church. I'm going to wear it when I get up in the morning. I'm going to bring it on when I get to my community, to my friends, to my family, to my city, to my nation. I'm going to bring it on. I'm going to wear it. I don't know about you, but as an Irish person, it took me a long time to come into agreement with God. Because I used to think he was better, she was better, they have a better accent than me, they have a better voice. Look at him, Lord. He's taller. He's stronger. He knows how to use a sword. And God's like, I'm calling you. And it was only when I agreed with him was there a release in my life to actually step out and to see the things that God had put in my heart. It wasn't, if I sung about it, nothing was happening. If I told testimonies about it, nothing was happening. But see, when I came into alignment with the things of God, there was a release in my life that caused things to happen all around me. I'm kidding you, all around me, even to this day, all around me that God, because why? I agreed with God. Samuel, great prophet in the Bible, actually says that not one word of Samuel fell to the ground empty. Not one word. And Samuel, called by God, you remember Hannah? She was crying out to God, why can't I have a baby? Why can't I? This happen to me? How come she's having babies, her husband's other wife? How come they're all having babies and I'm not having babies? And one day, our whining turned into worship. And the priest came and says, as you said today, so it shall be with you. And she went home and she conceived a little boy. whining. That's not really an ordinary word, is it? When our whinging turns into worship. Because you know what whinging does? It brings unbelief. There's a time to cry. There is a time to laugh as well. But as soon as she allowed that whinging to turn into worship, were you ready yourself? Eli, the priest, came and says, what are you doing? And she says, I'm asking God. God, he said, it'll be on to you today. And she went home and she conceived a little boy. His name was Samuel. She dedicated him to the Lord. And Samuel was raised up in the house of God, attuned to hear God's voice. And Samuel was raised up and Saul was the king, next king. The people wanted a king. They didn't want God to lead them as king anymore. They wanted a human king like all the nations. God says, you can have what you want. But remember, this king will take you to war, your young men to war, and will charge you a lot of taxes. And Saul was the first king of Israel. And Samuel had a real heart for Saul. Because one day Saul, while he was just a normal boy, he was going looking. He lost his donkeys. And he went looking for his donkeys. Couldn't find them anywhere. And someone says to him, why don't you go up and ask the man of God, Samuel in Ramah, does he know where they are? And he went up, goes up, and it says Samuel seen Saul coming. Saul was looking for his donkeys. And then Samuel started to speak into his life. I want to tell you, you're a king. What? I'm looking for my donkeys. You're a king. He goes, I'm a king. You're a king. There's more in you than you think than there is in you. The gifts of God have to be called out and recognized and agreed with before they're activated. And listen to what it says in Samuel. It says, when he walked away from Saul, from Samuel, when Saul walked away from Samuel, as he turned to walk away, this is what the Bible says, he became another man. How in the world did he become another man? He became a different man. He became something other than what he went in with. He went in as a donkey herder and came out a king. He went in looking for something and came out after finding something that was beyond him. And he walks down, and on the way down, Samuel says, I'm going to tell you how you'll know this is true. When you go down to a certain place, a band of prophets will come over the hill, and they'll be singing, and they'll be prophesying, and they will speak into your life. And as he was going, the band of prophets came down. In fact, it's the first place in any literature in all of history the word band is used. The band, the worship band, the band that was prophesying came over the mountain. And it says this, and Saul started to prophesy with them. What did he do? He came into agreement. What they were prophesying over him, he was prophesying over himself. And he left a different man. Saul's world opened up to him. The things of God was now in front of him because he came into agreement with God. And you have to agree with the words of God over our lives, over your life, to kill off unbelief. Now, it sounds a bit ridiculous. Imagine Saul walking back. I'm a king. What? Get over there and get them donkeys. I'm a king. You can hold donkeys in the hands, but you can be a king in here. And God says, like, he became king. He became the king of Israel. Why? Because he agreed with the things of God. And God has spoken over your life and over my life. And he has put things in our way and people have spoken in and scriptures have spoken into our lives. And we have to agree with them. There's 7 Hebrew words for worship, or for praise. When you read in your Bible the word praise, it's pretty limited because he wrote in English. But in the Hebrew language, there's 7 different words. So when you read, like, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into his courts with praise. Well, that word praise is one of 7 different words. And each one of those words have an action. Each one of those words have something that it's like jam-packed with kingdom explosion. And it's only when you practice them that actually you get the dynamic of them. There's 6 that God responds to, and there's 1 that God lives in. The one that God lives in is a word called Tehillah. The scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That word praises there is a Hebrew word called Tehillah. I'll tell you what that is another time because I want to get back. But this, one of the other words is Todah. In fact, before Todah, there's Yada. And Yada is what we were encouraged to do this morning. We were encouraged to let go of our stuff. It means this. Yad means hand in Hebrew, and ah at the end of a word is Jehovah. So it's like lift your hands to God. And it means to lift your hands to God and surrender. It means you're opening up your whole life, when your whole spirit, your whole soul, when you open up your hands to God, you're saying, God, I surrender to you. Will you come in and you do what you want to do? But it's a bit deeper than just lifting your hands and surrender. It also means to surrender everything that you carry today. It means all that I carry, I'm going to drop it today so I can lift my hands in worship to Yahweh. And what will I do with the things that are down there? I will leave them in the capable hands of God Almighty. It means, God, I don't want any hindrance. I don't want anything to flood my mind. I just want pure worship unto you. Therefore, I'll let everything go so that I can lift my hands to you. And then Toda means this. So that at the end is Jehovah. It means this. Toda means to lift your hands, but then you say the same thing as God. So it means this, to say the same thing. So if God says you're an overcomer, you say the same thing. I am an overcomer. You start prophesying and speaking the word of God into your life till it becomes a reality, till you're walking out in the spirit of an overcomer. Now that takes a bit of discipline, because you know what happens? These little things start to crawl back up your legs into your mind again. You have to yadar all over again. David says this, King David, Psalm 119, verse 146, I believe. David says, 7 times a day, I turn to God to give him praise. 7 times a day. Why 7? Because that's the number of completion in the Bible. Why 7? Because he probably had to do a Yada, Toda, Shabak. He had to probably Baruch. He probably had the Tehillah. But like, imagine David with all the war council. You know, the old Philistines are putting an army together. David said, hang on, generals. And he just go, God, you're great. God, you're magnificent. Lord, I leave all of that stuff with you so that I can surrender to you, Lord. In fact, Lord, I'm going to tell that right now. I'm going to say the same thing that you've said, that, Lord, you will give me victory, that there will be an establishment on the throne that will always have my name forever and ever. Amen. Don't leave me hanging, son. Amen. Toda means to say the same thing. What am I trying to say? It's that you're prophesying over your life what God has already said over your life. That's what he was saying to Timothy. Don't neglect this stuff. Don't neglect it, because unbelief will come in. You will stop operating in that gift, because unbelief will rob the word of God out of you and my life. Some of us need to go home today. You need to get into a mirror. Believe me, I'm not saying anything I do not practice. I'm not saying anything that I didn't have to pull myself up by the scruff of my neck and push myself to a mirror, and you speak what God has spoke over you. No, you speak what God has spoke over you. I tell you, I've done it in the last 2 weeks more than I've done it in the last 7 years. Because this stuff tries to get in. When you're the last 2 weeks ago, I got in front of the mirror, I was like, come on, Noah. Come on. Come on, Noah. Come on, you know what God has for you. You know that God has more. And you start speaking to yourself. And I'm telling you, only when you do this stuff will you feel the power of it and the activation of it. We can read about it, sing about it, talk about it, dance about it. But it's only when you do it. Do you ever go into the kitchen or into the bathroom with manky hands, dirty hands? You can go in there and you can look at that soap and you go, you're a bar of soap. You have power. Palm olive. You can go into a warehouse and it can be full of bars of soap. But unless you take that soap and unless you rub it into them hands, you're never going to know the power of that. And we can't be a powerless church. We can't be. We owe Bray and we owe this nation more than a powerless church. We owe them a glorious church, an amazing church, a church that has the presence of God flowing out of every person that they see. How do we activate this? We do these things that Paul said to Timothy. Don't neglect them. Toda, I agree with God. I say the same thing. It's like the word that is used in the Hebrew. It's like you're in a court and you're confessing that what he said is true. And I'm going to believe it. It creates atmospheres. It creates what you walk in. It dictates whether you start the day off in good humor or your missus or your friend or the last text message or whatever causes your day and the atmosphere of your day. Do you get me? Facebook sets the tone for more people's day than the Word of God does these days. Ah, Mary is talking about me. Brutal day. Yada. Toda. Baruch, get on your face. Put your head on the ground. Say, Lord, you're great. You're amazing. And you see the power of it. It creates a whole atmosphere. Jesus practiced this. Do you know what Jesus sang? Hey, do you know what Jesus sang? Great singer, I believe. It says this. It says in the Bible, Jesus sang. When you were up in the upper room at Passover, and he broke bread, and he gave it all around, they left the upper room, went down to the Mount of Olives, and it says they sang. Because the songs that they sang were from Psalms 111 to 117. And they're called the Halal songs. It's where we get, the Halal songs, where we get hallelujah from. And they go down there, and you read them Psalms, and you read what Jesus was singing on the way down to Gethsemane, to be betrayed, to be taken, to be crucified. He was singing songs like, this is the day. God is great. You read them. I was reading some of them during the day, and I was like, Jesus, you were singing some of them. Because they were the songs that were sung at the Passover. Do you know what Jesus was saying? Nobody is dictating my atmosphere, even though I'm going to the cross. I'm going to sing thanksgiving songs. I'm going to sing songs of hallelujah. I'm going to sing songs of how great my Father is, how majestic my Father. Read them. He's walking down. Imagine people, because people want to put self-pity on you. Self-pity brings you into unbelief. Get them out of your life. Love them. Don't agree with it. I'm telling you. Don't agree with it. Sets the atmosphere. Who you are and what you walk in and what you bring, because you're agreeing with God. This is not positive thinking. This is not like thinking just nice thoughts. This is the Word of God. This is creative words of God. Words of God in your mouth is as creative as the Word of God in His mouth. Or His Word in your mouth is as creative as His Word in His mouth. You see that in Moses. I'm finished with this. Creating atmospheres, because your atmosphere and what you walk in and what you believe in God for and what you walk in belief, it releases belief in other people. If you don't pray in tongues, ask Jesus to baptize in the Holy Spirit and to fill you up to the point that you're praying in the heavenly language, because that's His gift to you. Seek Him. Seek Him. It's His gift to you. It's your battery charger. It's what brings you into a place when you don't know what to pray. Ask Him. Ask Him to help you to sustain praying in tongues for long periods of time. That's what separates us. That's what even separates us from other parts of the body that don't believe in this. I tell you how powerful this is. My brother Mark died in January. He's walking across the road, 45 years of age, young man, my youngest brother. I'm second youngest, he's the youngest. Mark has been a heroin addict since he was 13. Walking across the road, Sunday morning in January, his body gave in, had enough. Died on the cross in the road. I was getting ready to preach. It was Sunday morning. I was getting ready. I was putting on my jacket to walk out the door, gets a phone call. My niece, no, Mark is found dead. I was going in to preach a message on, would you believe it? Who are we taking to heaven with us? Sharon said, I was grey, boom. Sharon says, you need to get someone else to preach. I said, Sharon, I'm going to preach this message. If ever there's a time to preach a message, this message, this is the day. Went into church in RD Street, didn't tell anybody what went on. Had to yada through the worship. Every time my mind was being filled with the tragic news, I was like, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I give it to you. Preached, got in my car, went up to the hospital where my brother was laid out. And on the way up, reminded every step of the way by demonic activity that God is not good. That was my third brother to lose the heroin. How can God be good? Look at your brothers are gone. This is freedom. I felt like I was robbed. I felt like there was a smash and grab going on in my own car. I goes up to the hospital. We do the funeral thing. We 3-4 weeks later, I'm still sitting up. In my head, Mark had felt the presence of God in a meeting at my wedding, would you believe it? He says, that felt like the presence of God. He knew the gospel, but here's the worst thing that was going on. I didn't know where he was. And my own mind, or the enemy, I don't know, had me awake 3 weeks, couldn't sleep. Every time when I got into bed, the thoughts would, I couldn't get rid of them. I tried everything I knew. Your brother's in hell. And one of the nights, 1:29 a.m., I'm sitting up. My thing goes off, bing. It was a message from a girl from the church. Claudia Burns, her name. She says, Noel, I get up this hour tonight, every night to pray. My husband's asleep, my kids are asleep. And I get up and I have this time by myself with the Lord. And she says, I was praying for nothing particular, and I had a picture of you. And she says, your head was in your hands like you were looking for an answer. Which was where my heart was. My head wasn't in my hands, but my heart was, Lord, where is he? The enemy I have, your brother's in hell. And she said, I start praying in tongues. This is her words, I'll show you, it's on my Facebook. I start praying in tongues, and she says, I start praying deeper in tongues. Now, I don't know what that meant. I know she started, and if you pray in tongues, you do know what it means, but you can't explain it. You start off here, and you end up somewhere there. And she said, over spirit, these words kept coming up. She was declaring them out. Tell Noel Kenny I have his brother. Tell Noel Kenny his brother is in heaven with me. Tell Noel Kenny I have his brother. And I'm sitting on my bed, couldn't sleep for weeks and weeks, and she writes this, and a wave of peace came over me. Now, what was the enemy trying to do? He was trying to cap me off. He was trying to bring unbelief in. I didn't know where my brother was, but God chose, because someone prayed in tongues and got into the place in the spirit where God was kind and generous and loving enough to say, tell Noel. His brother is with me. Tell Noel his brother. Because the Bible says, so you don't know what you're even praying at times, but you're praying out of moans and groans and things of the spirit when you don't know what to pray. God has given you this gift, not just for you, but for other people. And it sets my atmosphere. Do you think I was going around with a gloom because there was a cloud trying to settle over my head that wasn't God's? And God, with just one word, just, don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect it. Store it up. Pray in the spirit. And what separates from anything out there. And finally, I said about Moses. That Moses leads the people out of the promised land. God gave him a promise. You're going to a new land. And on the way, there was a sea and an enemy army behind them going to kill them. And when you know the story, you get over to the other side. And they're over to the other side, and Moses starts to sing a song in agreement with what God told him. He started to sing and come into agreement with God that the enemies wouldn't overtake them, that God would take them into a new land. And when he sings, at the very end, he sings to God, and at the very end, it says, Miriam takes up the tambourine and starts singing with all the women. Sorry, Miriam and all the women took up the tambourine and start singing to God. Start singing to the people, sorry. Moses sang to God, and they sang to the people. And here's the thing. The tambourine wasn't an Israel, a Hebrew instrument. It was an Egyptian instrument. So you have to ask yourself, where did he get the instrument that they picked up the tambourine? So where do we think the God was? Because it wasn't their instrument. On the way out of Egypt, when Moses was leading them out, if you remember that the people of Israel gave them women and men gold, rubies, fine linen. You read it, it's all there, that they were giving them gifts on the way out. Now you can imagine that they have the tambourines. Where did he get them? Can you imagine all the women saying? So I'm going to tell you what these tambourines were used for. They were called timbrels. They were on the end of a stick. And when two Hebrew people would be talking, they'd go up and go, shh, shut up. You've no voice. You've no say. Nobody would be allowed to talk. The linguistics people, I don't know how they know these things, but linguistic people said that the Hebrew's voice was no more than a whisper. Because every time they talked with any confidence, there'd be a taskmaster or a mistress would come over and, shut up. You've nothing to say. And you can imagine when they were all going out. And they're going, the mistress would say, there's a bit of linen and there's some jewelry and there's anything else you want? And Miriam says, yeah, can I have the tambourine, please? And all the other women walking out, can I have the tambourine, please? And then when they get to the other side, it says Miriam took up the tambourine and all the women. Let's say there was 500,000 women with tambourines. It says they all took it up. What was an instrument to close them down, God turned it into an instrument of praise and worship. And when the enemy has tried to shut you up with, to not declare, to not, to cause you to neglect, to bring in unbelief, that God will take that very thing that's trying to shut you down and you will stand up. Can you imagine all the women? They took all the tambourines, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Can you imagine 500,000 women singing, playing the tambourines? Now, I don't believe another million men, probably, or 500,000 men. They reckon there was 2 million came out of Egypt. So let's just say there's 500,000 of each and 1 million kids. Maybe they were like Irish. And imagine that, like, all the women, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, and all the men, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Can you imagine 1 million people coming into agreement with the things of God? Do you know what it says? That even the enemies in the promised land heard about the Israelites and their God. You know why? Because they turned an instrument of oppression into an instrument of praise to God. And they start singing, yes, God is great. He killed the Egyptians. He overcome the rider and the chariots. And we're going into the promised land. Do not neglect coming into agreement with God. Amen. Let's stand. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. So, Lord, we just come before you right now. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, for an eradication of unbelief and an impartation of fresh faith. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. Teach us how to come into alignment with you, Lord. Say to yourself, go home and look in the mirror. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know there's more. Don't neglect looking in the mirror. You know, sometimes you ever look in the mirror and you don't see yourself because you can't look yourself in the eye. Look in the eye. Look yourself in the eye. Come on. Come on. There's more. Stir it up. No neglect. Stir it up. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to stir it up, Lord. I'm going to confess, Lord, the words that you've said over me. I'm going to declare them. I'm going to proclaim them till the very atmosphere around me changes and the circumstances changes that would hinder me from walking in what you have for me, Lord. I'm not going to be a thinker of the word. I'm not going to be a reader of the word alone. I'm not going to be just a student of the word. I'm going to be a doer of the word. And I will see it come to pass in my life. I will see myself walking in a new dynamic of the Spirit of God. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts, walking in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, speaking in the heavenly language, Lord Jesus, would you come now, Lord? And baptize us afresh with fire. With fire, Lord. With fire, Lord. We will not be silent, O God. We will declare the things of God. We will declare the things of God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up, Lord. You would stir us up, stir up us up into that place of worship to yada, to lift hands up and to let go. It really is to let go and let God. And toda is where there's power, in agreeing with what God has already said over us. And I release you today. I call out the greatness of God afresh in your life. I call out kings and queens and prophets and priests and business people and educators and pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers. I call out the greatness of God to raise up great kids, to raise up people that will impact the nation way beyond our existence on this earth. I call out the gifts that God has already placed in us in Jesus' name. And we lift up our hands. Could I just ask you to, Yada? Could I ask you just to lift up your hands? Practice it. Practice it. Just, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender the bags I carry. I surrender the voices of other people that tell me I'm too young or to shut up. I surrender, Lord God, the enemy's silencing of me, Lord God. And I ask, Lord, you put a new song in my heart, a hymn of praise to God. Yes, Lord, I ask, Lord, I surrender all that the enemy has tried to close me down with, and I open up to you, Lord God. I surrender that all, oh God, so that I can take hold of the things that Jesus took hold of for me, Lord God. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I say, be released this week to walk different, talk different, receive different, perceive the very thoughts of God different that you will see and you will hear. I say to eyes be open, ears be open, mind be able to perceive the very thoughts of God that are more numerous than the sand on the seashore towards you. God says this, for I know the thoughts I have towards you, says God. Thoughts of prosperity, thoughts of future. That is carefully planned by God Himself. I bless you. I send you out to be the church of Jesus in this town, in the city, and in the nation. I pray that God would use us as we look to Him and pray in tongues, that we would be the Claudia for someone else.